Heavenly Father, we delight to come before you, Lord, now. We thank you that your love is poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come before you and open your word, we ask for mercy for those who do not know you. Lord, we ask for grace for those who are in you. And Lord, would you be glorified. Bless this time now, in Jesus' name, amen. So we can go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 12. We'll be looking at something that's very familiar, hopefully, for all of us. Mark chapter 12. And so we're going to be looking at verses 29 to 31. Or actually verse 28. And so I'll go ahead and start reading verse 28, Mark chapter 12. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. And so tonight, we're going to be focusing on verses 29 and verse 30. Something, like I said, would be very familiar. And so, kids, I would ask you, what is the greatest commandment? Love God, right? And we see here, so the greatest commandment that Jesus declares to us is simply, that's tongue-in-cheek, but simply to love God. And so I'd ask everyone here, how are you doing at loving God? When you think of this past day or this past week, how are you doing at loving God? And it's a difficult question, and it can sometimes be a little bit uncomfortable because we know how often we fail, how often we disobey this simple command. We know that this is bad. But tonight, as we look at this command, our goal is to see how great God is, how glorious His love is, as He has commanded us to love Him. And so, as we look at this first command, we'll first talk about what it is, how are we to obey it, and why. So we'll start with what, then we'll go to how, and then we'll go to why. And that will be our 3 points looking at this commandment. And so, again, our first commandment, what is it? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as we see in verse 29 and 30. And so, on a whole, most of us are familiar with commandments. What is the commandment?
The law.
It's the law. It's the rule. That's right. That's exactly right, right? Another word you might hear commonly related to a commandment is going to be a mandate. Anybody heard a mandate recently? No. Right? A command is to be obeyed, right? Do not steal. I like to see that you guys are obeying a command that I'm not right now. Can anybody guess what that is? You are all wearing your mask indoors. I'm very proud of you all. That is a good thing because our government has commanded us indoors to wear a mask. They don't like to use that word command, right? Because that's kind of too biblical, so they use that word mandate, right? But again, this command comes to us with authority because there are consequences if we don't obey those rules or commands. And so it's not a suggestion. It's not an encouragement. We are to obey it. And so that's easy when we're commanded to wear a mask. You can obviously see whether you're going to obey it or not. You can decide if you're going to the store, okay, I'm going to just proudly just rebel. Or you're going to get in the store and realize you don't have your mask and run back to your car and come back with the mask on. And as we think about that obedience to the mask rule, now we're given by God this command to love Him. And so as I ask you, how are you doing in loving God? It's a little bit different than when I ask you how you're doing with obeying wearing the mask. Because as we'll see, if you think about how do I determine how did I do? It's kind of like it's very difficult to kind of look at certain criteria to see, did I do good this today? Did I do good this week? And a lot of times it might be frustrating or difficult to answer that. And so I like to think of it as a similar way. It'd be like asking a husband, how are you doing loving your wife? Right? What is the husband's reaction? Right away, wall of defense, like, whoa, what are you trying to get at? What do you know? Right? Because it's a pretty deep question. It's a pretty difficult question to analyze. He might start thinking of all the times where he's been focused on a hobby and he's neglected his wife to take care of the kids, or he was supposed to do this list of things and he went out sailing or surfing. And right away he's kind of convicted. And it's not a matter of unfaithfulness, but it's just a matter of how much he loves himself versus loving his wife, that battle, right? And so, but as he would think about answering that question, he might remember that, yes, he has chosen her to love her alone. And that affection for her that he has for her, he can answer, yes, I love her. I've been loving her. I'm doing okay. And so you can see the depth of that question in how a husband would love the wife. And in the same way, when we look at the command to love God, it is a similar inward command. It is a complicated command. It's not simple like just putting on a mask. It is definitely deep to our core, this command. And so as we look at the command, some might even ask, can you command love? Right? Can you even command somebody to love somebody? Right? And it would depend on what your definition of love is. If we're like the culture around us, what does the world tell us and the culture around us about love? Love is uncontrollable, right? It's an emotion you can't control. And, you know, I love ice cream, or I love to watch sports, or, you know, this basketball team is my favorite basketball team. I love that basketball team. And the world would try and tell us that love is something we can't control. We have no power over. It's just coming out of it's our emotions, and there's no choice or determination. And my favorite example of that is going to be, but Daddy, you don't understand. I love him. And with that, there's no reasoning. There's no ability to change your thought. The conversation ends because love is uncontrollable. Right? But thankfully, God brings light in to the darkness where the culture would tell us love is not controllable or involuntary. God's love shows us that it is something that we determine. God reveals to us that love is something we choose. Love is something that we have control over. And so, when we think of this word, when we look at this word in verse 29, it says, Love, and you shall love the Lord your God. This is, in the Greek, called agape. And what God reveals to us is that this type of love is something that is an act of our minds and our will, that agape love. It's a choice of the mind or the will to choose something to care for, something to value, something to esteem or lift up or to be devoted to. And so we see that love here that God illustrates for us is not like the world. It's not something that's involuntary or uncontrollable, but it is something that is deliberate. And we see this in the very fact that God commands us to love. Because if we couldn't control it, if it was uncontrollable, it would be quite unfair to be commanded to do something we couldn't control. But as God reveals to us, love is something that we do choose every day. It is something that we would put our heart towards, to wrap around, or our minds to think about, or our emotions to savor and enjoy. And God also continues that because we have other commands given to us in Scripture again where we are commanded to love. Verse 31, if you just go down again, says in that we are to love our neighbor. In Luke 6:32, an even harder one to love is to love your enemy and do good. And so you see where this command comes to us to tell us when we've been wronged and we have an enemy, what are we to do with that enemy? Instead of returning that same hate or anger, we're to stop our hearts or our minds from getting revenge or justice, and we're to stop that, say no to that, and then choose to do them good in that command, to love your enemy. And we see that God illustrates this for us in John 3:16, a very familiar verse. For God so loved the world, this is the world that hates Him, that has rejected Him, that has not loved Him, that He gave His only Son. Why? Because He loved, He chose, He determined that He would love them. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so love, we see here, is something that we will choose, we will determine. And this is what God shows us. And so, again, what is love? It's to value or to esteem something, to care, to choose to care about something and have concern for. And so what we see is that command comes to us, and it, as we listen to that command, is it something that we need to do? Is it something like your mask mandate, right? It's a physical thing that when you obey, you put on your mask. When you disobey, you don't put on your mask. But the command to love, is it something that you have to do? Because when we ask this question, how are you doing in loving God? A lot of times our minds will go to, well, you know, I did this. I went and helped this person. Or, you know, I made sure I'm reading my Bible every day. Or maybe I made sure I was praying every day. Or I went and, you know, spread the news, the good news in evangelism or something. A lot of times we want to look at the external things of how we're doing in obeying this command. But this command is not so much things we do, is more something we listen to in our internal being. And looking to the fruits of our love can be misleading, right? And an example of this is, you know, a husband, when he chooses to love his wife, is he actually doing anything when he chooses to love her? Is he going to get married? No, right? When he chooses to love her, all he is doing is he's making a decision that he is to love only her, no other. Right? He is going to only care about her, esteem her, value her. He's going to have an internal decision to make that choice for her. He will not allow his thoughts or his heart to go after another woman, but he will value her. And so there will be evidence of that externally, which is good. Maybe he's getting her flowers, he's doing the laundry, he's taking out the trash. And so there are external things that we'll see change. But we can see the opposite too. When a man who is married to a wife, and he starts to wander with his thoughts, and he starts to wander with his mind, and on the external, he can continue those outward show of love, of doing the things that he usually does, showing up, taking her to dinner. But as he is committing adultery with someone else that he has found and started to love, it's an internal choice that he is no longer loving his wife, but instead hating her. And as he loves that other wife, though the things on the outside can go on for years, it's that internal choice of hating his real wife and not loving her. And so we see that this command is complicated, deep, and it is one that is internal. And it is something that we listen to, not so much what we do as we look at this command. And so when God asks us to love him, we are commanded to choose him first above all things. And that's where we move to our second point, is how, what is the command? Is to love God. Our second point is how to love God. And so that's where our text continues, where it says in verse 30, it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And so, again, as we look at this command, we're very familiar with this. This is a command that God is giving us that encompasses all our being. Kids, I like to think of it as an elevator going up. Your heart, then your soul, then your mind, and your strength. Right? Every part of you is to put God first. And so, to bring it back to our analogy of a husband and wife, again, all aspects of the husband is going to be towards his wife. He has to be faithful with his emotions. That will be his spirit, right? He has to be faithful with his heart and his being towards him. His mind, his thoughts should go nowhere else towards any other woman, right? And that is where he actively, every day, has to choose not to have thoughts for others that women might come around. He has to actively, continually love his wife and be faithful to her. Because as soon as he's not loving her and lets his heart wander, then he is hating her. And it's the same thing with God. God is commanding us to actively choose him every day. Every day, with our hearts, we're going to be choosing to serve him. With our emotions, we're going to be choosing to put him first in the things that we love. With our minds, we're going to be choosing to understand him first and above all else. And what happens is when we fail to do that, we sin. We sin. Every sin is an act of not loving God. We don't trust him. So we trust our own heart. And every sin is an act of not listening to God, not loving him, and loving something else, whether it's ourselves or some other thing that we might have. And so we can think of things that we see all around us that are loved more than God. Sometimes it's our friends. We care more about what our friends think about us than what God thinks about us. We put our friends first. Sometimes it's business. Sometimes it's money. Or it might be sports or fame. And when we think about those things, we know that it's obviously what's going to happen to all those things. They will perish. The one thing that is truly good for us to love is God, because He is eternal and unchangeable. And so we see that Jesus illustrates this for us in Luke 16:13. This will be hopefully a familiar passage where Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus illustrates that as soon as we start loving something else, we're hating God. As soon as we put something first in front of God, we're hating Him. And in a sense, God is commanding us to stop loving the world. Jesus is illustrating that you have to love God first. Because the world loves to take things that are good and elevate them and make them something that we would love instead of God, whether that's our family, whether that's relationships or our retirement or our friends even. And the world takes these and says, these are worth you to esteem or to value. But we see that God is commanding us to love Him first. And the difficulty with this is that when we analyze our day, we know that we fail miserably. We fail miserably when we think about loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind and our strength. And even more so when we think about this being the greatest commandment, the penalty of disobeying this commandment is going to be the greatest, because we've failed to do what God has asked us to do. And so, as we look at this command and we think about ourselves, why would we try to keep it if we do fail it every day? And this is where we're going to go with our last point, and that is going to be the why. When we think about, in a sense, why would we try to do something so hard? Why would we try to do something that every day we fail at all the time? Putting Him first, loving Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and all of our soul. And the why would we do this, is because of what God is and who He is. And that's where we see, because He first loved us. When we come to know God, when we come to understand who God is and what He has done for us, then He sweeps us off of our feet, and He draws us to Himself. And so loving God, or following this command, comes to us through the gospel, what Jesus Christ has done. It's a response to what Jesus has done for us. And that is that agape, or that love for you. God has chosen to love you with all of His heart, with all of His soul, and with all of His mind. God has shown you that same love. It's not based on what we've done or our merit or our obedience. God's love is what He has chosen to do. In Romans 5:6, it says, "When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we see here that what has Jesus done? Jesus has given us something infinitely more valuable than anything the world can offer. He has given us His love. And our love for God is a response to His love for us. John 15 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. In this was the love of God was made manifest among us," 1 John, "that God sent His only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so, as we think about this command, right? It's a command to love God. It's to choose Him first with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. This command can only be done through knowing what He has done for us. It only comes through an understanding of His love. Because if we try and love God for any other reason, maybe His benefits, or maybe we're going to love God because we feel like we're supposed to, it doesn't change us. It doesn't transform us. It only helps us to conform or to be doing a duty. But when we see what God has done for us and who He is, that is what causes us to love Him. And what is that love? It's the gospel where God, though we have sinned against Him, though we have rebelled against Him, and have valued other things and have been like that unfaithful husband and loved other things, God still chooses to love us. And even though we have hated Him, He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And as we see how God's mind continued to choose us, God's heart and His being sacrificing Himself for us, God has done the very thing that He is commanding us to do, but He has done that for us. And so, as we come to understand this, this is how we respond. Because we see that He is so wonderful, so loving. We realize that God has loved us with His mind, His heart, and His soul. And He has promised to work out all things for our good. And so, when you think about loving God, truth of His love for us is the foundation for our loving Him. And so, one of the questions as an application is, how do we teach this to our kids? How do we teach this to our kids? Do we tell our kids, hey, you know, you must obey God because you will feel better, good about yourself. It is the right thing to do. And maybe we give them a list of things. But if we lead them in that direction, we're basing it upon pride because they have to do something. Or if we try and tell them that, oh, you will only be truly satisfied in God. It is true. But again, we're teaching them to look for a self-interest. How do we teach our kids to love God? And what the answer would be is that we must go to the heart. And as we go to the heart, we must show them God's heart for them. And how He, in Jesus Christ, has embraced us. Even though we're smelly. Even though we're foul because of our sin. God's love is a choice that He has made to give us. And so we need to show them how God in Jesus Christ has embraced them in His love. And that is the foundation for us to love Him. And so the one last application is a mistake that people make nowadays for trying to love God. There's a mistake that people try and do. And to illustrate that, we can see that what's behind us when we drive up here across the street, there's the gas station, and what's behind that? There's an apartment building, right? Imagine if I commanded you to go love the guy on the third floor in apartment C. And what a lot of people will do is, as they're commanded to love that, they might think in their minds, okay, I'm gonna love this guy, and I'm gonna choose to, maybe I'm gonna try and, choose to. He lives in the valley, so I'm gonna assume that he's got some kind of interest with Palolo. So maybe he's from here. They'll start to think of things like, well, maybe he works somewhere close. And so, as they think about things about this man, without knowing him, they try and love him. And is that possible? If we don't know that guy in that apartment, can we love him? No. No, because we don't know anything about him. And sometimes, like I said, they might try and imagine things about them. Maybe they'll hear things from friends about that guy in the apartment. And so they'll make conclusions. But the only way to really love the guy in the apartment is to go over there and knock on the door. And introduce themselves and say, hello. My name is Gavin. What's your name? What do you like to do? And what we see nowadays is people all the time try and love what they make up in their minds of who God is. And our job, and even for ourselves, is to seek out God as we try and love Him and who He is. And of course, that is through His Word and through prayer. And as you think about trying to succeed in loving God, don't be lazy, but go and pursue Him, knowing Him. And as you learn of Him and His gospel, that is how we respond in loving Him. And so we see here that knowing God and choosing to love Him is based on what He has shown us in Jesus Christ. Believing that He is good and trusting His words and following Him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Word. We thank You for how, Lord, You reveal to us Yourself in Jesus Christ, and this love for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You would grow us in choosing to have You first with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And as we do this, Lord, we would know You better and enjoy You. Thank You for this time, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.